Sometimes, and Asuraya. Very quickly. Uluka, Meteor, Braham, Fiend. Translation, this forest, there are dense bowers composed of thickets and bushes, grass and creepers. In these bowers, the conditioned soul is obviously served by cruelly biting mosquitoes. Sometimes he sees an imaginary palace in the forest, and sometimes he's bewildered by seeing a fleeting fiend or ghost, which appears like a meteor in the sky. Her part of the material household is actually a whole of fruitive activity. Her and alive with one engages in different industries and trades, and sometimes one performs great sacrifices to go to higher planetary systems. Apart from this, at least everyone's engaged in earning a livelihood in some profession or occupation. In these dealings, one has to meet many undesirable people, and their behavior is compared to the biting of mosquitoes. This creates very undesirable conditions. Even in the midst of these disturbances, one imagines he is going to construct a grand house and live there permanently, although he knows that he cannot. Gold is compared to a quickly fleeting fiend which appears like a meteor in the sky. It displays itself for a moment and is gone. Generally, karma is attracted to gold or money, but these are compared here to ghosts and witches. My dear king, the merchant in the forest path of the material world is intelligence victimized by home, wealth, relatives, and so forth, runs from one place to another in search of success. Sometimes his eyes are covered by the dust of a whirlwind. That is to say, in his lust, he is captivated by the beauty of his wife, especially during a menstrual period. Thus, his eyes are blind and he cannot see where to go and what he is doing. Parabharata said that household attraction resides in the wife because sex is the center of household life. In wife and I, he would have made his company to chum. A materialist person making his wife with the center of attraction works very hard at night and day and night. His only enjoyment in material life is sexual intercourse. Therefore, karmis are attracted to women as friends or wives. Indeed, they cannot work without sex. Under the circumstances, the wife is compared to a whirlwind, especially during her menstrual period. Those who strictly follow the rules and regulations of household life engage in sex only once a month at the end of the menstrual period. As one looks forward to this opportunity, his eyes are overwhelmed with the beauty of his wife. Thus, it is said that the whirlwind covers the eyes with dust. Such a lusty person does not know that all his material activities are being observed by different demigods, especially the sun god, and are being recorded for the karma of one's next life. Astrological calculation is called Jyoti Shastra. Because the Jyoti or revulsions in the material world comes from different stars and planets, the signs are called Jyoti Shastra, the signs of luminaries. By the calculations of Jyoti, our future is indicated, in other words, all the luminaries, stars, sun, moon, witness the activities of the conditioned soul. Now, see, as a word depicted by the body, a lusty person's eyes are covered by the dust of the whirlwind of material life. Existence does not at all consider those activities are being observed by different stars and planets being bombarded. Not knowing this, the conditioned soul commits all kinds of sensible activities for the satisfaction of his lusty desires. Wandering in the forest of the material world, the conditioned soul sometimes hears invisible cricket making harsh sounds, and his ears become very much aggrieved. Sometimes his heart is pained by the sound of owls, which are just like the harsh words of his enemies. Sometimes he takes shelter of a tree that is known for fruits or flowers. He approaches such a tree due to his strong appetite, and thus he suffers. He would like to acquire water, but he is simply illusioned by a mirage, and he runs after it. Report Srimad Bhagavat philosophy is meant for people who are completely free from envy. The material world is full of envious people, and even within one's inner circle, there is much backbiting, and this is compared to sound vibration of a cricket in the forest. One cannot see the cricket, but one hears its sounds, and thus becomes aggrieved. When one takes to Krishna consciousness, one always hears unpalatable words from relatives. This is the nature of the world. One cannot avoid mental distress because of the backbiting of envious people. Being very much aggrieved, sometimes one goes to a sinful person for help, but he has no means to help because he has no intelligence. Thus the living entity is disappointed. This is like running after a mirage in the desert in an effort to find water. Such activity should not produce any tangible results. And due to being directed by the energy, a conditioned soul suffers in so many ways. So this is a whole series of verses which is actually explained in the next chapter. So the verses themselves simply describe the man in the forest, the merchant, who is looking for wealth. And in the previous verse, it described there are various plunderers or thieves who are trying to grab things. Now we see there are various mosquitoes and things biting him. He sees a ghost that appears like a meteor in the sky, or he sees an imaginary city floating in the sky, or he gets blinded by a whirlwind of dust, and this way he wanders about in confusion, and his ears get pained by the sounds of crickets chirping, and then the sounds of owls are there, which cause pain to his ears. He takes shelter in trees, but there's no fruits and no flowers. He is trying to get water, but he runs after a mirage in the desert, or like in the desert is a mirage, so he's looking for water. He sees an image of water, but it's not real water. And he runs after it and simply gets tired. So, and then this continues for many verses, this example of a forest. So as I mentioned before, the forest is a place where there's much suffering for a person if he's not accustomed to living there and doesn't have proper shelter and clothing and assistance. So the man is all alone, and he's afflicted by the circumstances in the forest, by the animals and insects in the forest, and by the weather, etc. So these all simply indicate the various problems in the material world. They're not explained here, but they're actually explained in the next chapter. But there are so many problems one can come across in the material world. Similarly, there are many problems one can come into meet with in the forest. So the analogy is there to show that this is a forest that has many problems. So material life itself is full of all sorts of problems. And the problems in the forest are compared to the problems in life. And so we have here the example of being bit by mosquitoes, for instance, and having all this very thick forest and things like that, which one must go through or chop down somehow to get on a path, and seeing imaginary things in the sky, or seeing ghosts. These are all, of course, causes of misery. Being bit by insects causes pain. And having illusions which don't come true. The Gandharvapura is an imaginary city floating in the sky. It's not real, but one becomes attracted to it. So this indicates the various goals we have in life, which are actually illusory and cannot attain. But nevertheless, we hanker for these things. Gold or money is compared to the meteor in the sky. And of course, the meteor in the sky is unobtainable. It's there for a moment and it disappears. The flash of light disappears. So similarly, a person will hanker for getting gold. And he may get it, but again, it's temporary. And its value is very, very temporary. So, and then we have the ghosts and things in the forest. So again, this is the various desires for material things, which are also ephemeral. They come and go. He is blinded by the dust as compared to the beauty of his wife. So because of that, he has to work very hard and consequently exhaust himself. So that's compared to being blind. Whirlwind. And various sounds or the various criticisms that you will experience from other people. People will become envious of him and criticize him, call him names, etc. Or scold him
So these are compared to the sounds of crickets or the sounds of owls, forests. So in this way he becomes frustrated because he endeavors in the material world and he is criticized for his endeavors or for whatever reason, and therefore becomes miserable. So these are some of the conditions, and later on we'll see more things happen. He jumps in a river and breaks his head or whatever because it's too shallow or whatever. So he climbs a hill and he cuts his feet or whatever. So many, many examples are given of fruitless endeavors in the material world. Of course, not fruitless in one sense, because one must maintain the material body. So we must make some endeavor in the material world to maintain the body. So with that maintenance, we can do various things. So the unfortunate position is to use that material body after getting the support for useless things. The purpose of human life, if we do maintain it, is to use it to develop spiritually. If we don't do that, then this type of example applies. It does not apply if one struggles for existence, but then uses one's material body and intelligence for developing spiritually. Then there's no problem, and this condemnation is not there. But if we waste the human body, we struggle to support it, we get the support, and then we waste that opportunity on more types of enjoyment, then this is a comparison here to the man struggling for a forest, looking for money, etc., and struggling very hard, getting some result, and also suffering a lot. So if he doesn't have a spiritual goal, then he's merely forced into a situation where he must put forth effort to get some enjoyment, but the enjoyment is temporary, and therefore he's forced again to put more effort into it. So if his goal is not spiritual, his goal is to get some sort of enjoyment, and that enjoyment will always be temporary. So therefore he has to keep working, 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 and working in the material world to get his little bit of enjoyment. So that is what is indicated here. And in doing so, various problems arise, inconveniences for the body, etc. And ultimately, up until the end of his life, he needs to struggle in this manner. On the other hand, if one has a spiritual goal, then because he is not motivated by material things time and time again, he can put a limit to the amount of labor he puts in. And so, though he is also in the material world and gets afflictions like this, he does not have to put the same effort into trying to maintain himself in the material world, because his desires are much less. And so his efforts in the material world are less, and consequently his suffering will be much less. Definitely he will also encounter some suffering in his struggle to maintain the material body, but it is nothing compared to a person who has unlimited desires and is continuing to work to fulfill those desires. So therefore the devotee is in a different position. He's not free from these problems of the material world, but it is much less, because his endeavors to try to get material satisfaction are minimal. And therefore, on the other hand, he derives happiness from his spiritual practice. So therefore, this is a balance to all the inconveniences one must put up with and tolerate in the material world. If he gets satisfaction from spiritual life, then the inconvenience that he must suffer are of no value at all. They're very insignificant for him. So that is the position of a devotee. Though he must also participate in this type of struggle in the material world, it is not to the same extent. So therefore he does not get bewildered in the forest and travel around and come with all sorts of misfortunes, because of his minimizing those desires.
It is not that one simply does nothing. That may be the position of one in Bhava and Prema, where he forgets about his material body. It's not he's purposely neglecting his body and expecting the Lord to maintain it. The devotee puts forth some effort, and is described in the Nectar Devotion there among the Angas of Bhakti, that one should not over-endeavor to support the material body, but again, he should not neglect the material body. So in other words, he does not do extreme vairagya on purpose also. At the same time, he does not enjoy or extend himself into material enjoyment unnecessarily. So he's balanced. He maintains the body, but he also does not neglect it. And he doesn't extend it into excessive enjoyment.
Hari.